Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, December 18, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon today is Hope in the Midst of Hopelessness. The gospel reading for today is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25.
We hear songs, it's Christmas time in the city, and the shouts of Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays surround us. It's the most wonderful time of the year, where we're told to have a holly jolly Christmas. All these messages about being merry and being of good cheer fill our songs and our signs and the messages around us. And if you're not merry and of good cheer at Christmas time, you get labeled the Scrooge or the humbug. I have a confession to make. I'm probably more on the humbug side. Christmas and December is not my favorite time of the year. I feel the pressure of finding the right gifts. The calendar feels more packed than before, and some holiday traditions feel like additional chores. And I'm also very aware that for some folks, this time of year is the exact opposite of merry. Perhaps it's a time when someone is unemployed and feels inadequate in not being able to provide the gifts, the material gifts, for the people he or she loves. I'm aware at this time that there are small children for whom the pain of a parent's divorce is spiking when they overhear arguments about which house they're going to and when, switching between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And on a time when people are gathering with loved ones and saying, wow, how is everybody gathering around the Christmas tree? If you're a widow or a widower, it can be especially lonely because the holiday magnifies the loss and the struggle that's already there, but feels so much more palpable when everyone around you seems to be enjoying the season. I'm not in that down space this year, but I have been in other Decembers, feeling frustrated and sad and even more annoyed when the pressure to be merry and bright slaps me in the face. It's like feeling miserable and having somebody pat you on the shoulder and say, buck up, feel better. Which never actually makes you feel better. It's easier to hide those sad moments behind the fake smile and murmur, Merry Christmas, right back without meaning it. And I think especially as a pastor, a season when we celebrate that Christ our Savior is born, I feel uncomfortable when I feel uncelebratory. Don't have that heart who's prepared room for the joy to the world to come. But then again, as I read and reread and return to the story of Jesus' birth, the real life complications of his arrival were not all the easy, merry Christmases that we throw around. That first Christmas was not necessarily merry and bright. Today, our scripture looks at the story of Jesus' birth shared from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, many of you who have studied your Bible know this already, but we have four gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only two of them talk about the birth of Jesus. John starts with mysticism. Mark just dives in. So we only have Matthew and Luke. The Luke's account, which we'll read on Saturday night at Christmas Eve, has the cast of shepherds and angels and the chorus to glory of God that is familiar from many Christmas parents. We've just read the entire story of Jesus' birth from the Gospel according to Matthew. Notice it's got a simpler, humbler tone. And it's told from Joseph's point of view, not from Mary's. The story is like this. Joseph was engaged to Mary. The wedding hasn't taken place yet. But then, Scripture doesn't tell us, but I wonder, maybe around the first trimester, she's found to be with child. Now, under ordinary circumstances, people would assume that there has been some premarital hanky-panky going on between Joseph and Mary. But from Joseph's point of view, he knows himself to be a righteous man. He knows what he's been up to. And so his logical explanation would be that Mary has cheated on him. She's committed adultery. She's been unfaithful to their engagement promise. It's not difficult to imagine that Joseph might have been feeling betrayed or angry, perhaps heartbroken and disappointed. Oh, and then there's the level of shame and humiliation, for the community would know. And an appropriate reaction would be to charge her with adultery publicly, and Mary could be punished severely, even up to death. But Joseph, being unwilling to drag her name through the mud, decides to do what he thinks is the right thing and says, we'll just break off that engagement quietly. Maybe he'd return her to her father's house with some shreds of her dignity left on her side as well as his. Maybe he'd disappear for a while, let the town gossip kind of blow over. Joseph had what he thought was a decent plan. And then he had a dream. And in his dream, an angel, which is really a messenger from God, this messenger relays to him that Mary's child is from the Holy Spirit, and it's okay to marry her still. The child she has conceived is a boy, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be God with us, Emmanuel. When Joseph awoke, he reversed his decision and decided to go forward and keep his engagement to Mary. And again, we don't know when in Mary's pregnancy this dream might have taken place. But there has got to be a period of time, perhaps several agonizing months, between when he found out she was pregnant, when he had the dream, and when the birth actually happened. And that Joseph wouldn't be sure of the message and the reliability of the messenger until the birth actually happened. Could he be wondering, what if Mary delivers a girl? Not the boy that the angel has promised. I wonder if Joseph was rethinking and second-guessing himself, even as he endured the whispers and people making fun of him behind his back. I wonder if he felt depressed. And so when I look at the story with this level of human complexity in it, and then recognize this is the family into which Christ is born, it's a little dysfunctional. But even if Joseph didn't have the joyful and confident heart to welcome this child that he knows isn't his, Jesus arrives. Jesus is born into this quiet and humble way, and Mary does indeed deliver a boy. And Joseph's fears are somewhat allayed. And Joseph names the baby Jesus as he has heard in his dream. And perhaps the child really is the Son of God. And then later, when these wise men from the east arrive, bringing gifts, perhaps his hope that this message was really true gets a little stronger. And watching the rest of Jesus' life, up to his death and his resurrection, Joseph has a really unique perspective on Jesus' life. But I believe that the good news for us and the good news of Christmas is that Christ comes even when we're not merry and bright, even when we're not hopeful and optimistic. For Christ comes to love us, to love all of humanity for the messy and complicated human beings who we are. Even from the beginning, Jesus was born into a family full of human struggle and suffering. And his name is to be called Emmanuel, God with us, and with us in our messiness. So even if you don't feel up to the merry tone of the season, be assured that Christ loves you where you are and as you are right now. That God understands that there is pain, there is grief, there's depression, there's conflict. And God has intentionally set Christ to be here with us in our darkest moments and is sent here to save us. And maybe you're one of the joyful, content people this season. Your tree is trimmed and your family is gathered around. And so I'd encourage you then to be aware of the folks around you who need more than a Merry Christmas pat on the back wish from you. Perhaps the person needs the reassurance and Christmas message, God is with us, more than they need Merry Christmas. Maybe it is a friend or coworker or family member who's grieving. An extra acknowledgement of hurt and loss may be the most compassionate thing you could do. Perhaps it's a gentle question. I wonder if you're missing your mom especially at this time of year. Maybe it's asking someone genuinely, how is this season for you? Rather than assuming it's merry. Maybe there's somebody that you can be praying for especially in this time, because you know how hard it is and you know something about their family situation. Perhaps it's inviting folks to the Blue Christmas service, and even if they don't attend, you're saying that there's a place for you, that God cares about you in the midst of your sadness. And as we share that kind of Christmas greeting, the greeting of God is with you through compassion and empathy, then I wonder how we then become the light of Christ in the dark places. Not some blinking artificial lights, not the easy smile of Merry Christmas, but the deep and abiding spiritual light that illumines the dark places of souls and is able to shine the light of Christ, which is truly hope in the hopeless places. May it be so.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.